Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Army wives, fall in!
You're tuned to the Internet Talk Radio Show designed specifically for Army Wives. Our life, our family, our soldier.
Brought to you by the Army Wife Network. Interactive empowerment for Army Wives. It's Army Wife Talk Radio. Up-to-the-minute information is right here with special reports, stories, interviews, and more.
Now reporting for duty, your host, the AWN Core Team.
Well, hello, Army family. Welcome. And I always do that a little too early, don't I? Hello, Army families. Welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network Core Team. This is show number 551, and I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
Hi, guys, and I'm your co-host, Joanna Boyd. Today is Monday, January 25th, 2016, and we're so glad you're here to hang out with us tonight.
I'm so glad you're with us, Joanna. This is your first time co-hosting. You were on for the Christmas show. But this is your first time co-hosting, and I'm so excited. There's always a party going on here at Army Wife Network. So if you're listening to our show live right now, join us over in our Twitter chat. We're having fun over there, and we would love to chat with you. You can follow along at twitter.com/Army Wife Network. Using hashtag ArmyWife to participate. Tonight's show is brought to you by our Army Wife Talk Radio show sponsor, TVT Met Life. While defending our nation, you can protect your family's smile and save with the TRICARE Dental Program. Enroll today. That is something that you have to enroll in, so it doesn't just come along with the TRICARE plan, so make sure you enroll because, trust me, I've used it many times and I could not get by without it. It's too expensive. Dental care is too expensive, so make sure you enroll today. You can learn more at metlife.com/TRICARE or call 1-855-TDP-1. That's 855-MET-TDP-1. And we're excited to have Byron Chin of Success Vet joining us as our main guest this evening. You can find Byron on Twitter at Success Vet. That's Success Vet. And he's also on Facebook at facebook.com/SuccessVet. And on Google Plus at plus.google.com/plus Success Vet. And you can also find Byron on the web at successvets.com, and we will have all that information for you on our Twitter page. Also coming up a bit later this evening, we have the latest in our relationship minutes. So we have got a lot going on this evening, so please stay tuned. It's going to be fun. However, before we get to all of that, we have some catching up to do. Joanna, I'm so excited you're here. We know each other from Fortville, and yes. So you're one of my first friends ever, first military friends ever.
I know.
So anyway,
I remember our first lives together.
Yep. Now, I think that your husband was hailed the same time my husband was hailed into the unit that they were in together. Isn't that how
yeah.
I met you?
Well, remember we met at the hail and farewell? I think that was the first time I saw you.
Right.
My husband was hailed, and I guess you guys were there to just join dinner. So that's how we met. I remember we sat at the same table and we started talking and we exchanged
sure.
numbers the same day. And here you go. And now we're here.
Haven't stopped. So tell me, what's been going on with you?
Well, I'm 21 weeks pregnant. And Yay. While I still have energy, I'm kind of working on the nursery and registry, and I have some very sweet friends who are hosting me a shower, and so kind of getting ready for that. Yeah, and working on the nursery, and we had to empty a room to make room for her nursery because we thought that we were going to move before the baby came, but we didn't. So now we're having to rearrange this house to welcome a baby. And so we had to clean everything out of there, pack it up, put it in the attic. And we were able to finally put her furniture together. And now I'm working on decoration and all that good stuff. And the registry, making sure I'm not missing anything. And so, yeah. I feel what's going on.
Awesome.
And my husband is gone right now. He's in Colorado, Fort Carson, for 30 days. He's been gone for a week. And so that gives me plenty of time to, you know, clean up closets and clean up everything, sort of get focused on whatever I have to do. Because I can't when
it's
he's around.
It's amazing what you can get done when the hubby's gone.
It's crazy. I feel like I lose weight. I'm serious. It's great. Like, I clean the pantry. I clean the closet. I lose weight. I get myself back together. It's great. I love it. But I love when he comes back, too. So. And I'm starting to look at, we're hoping to go on a baby moon sometime on spring break to California. Have you ever seen the movie The Great Outdoors?
No, I haven't. What's it about?
So The Great Outdoors is about this family that takes a vacation at the Bass Lake in California. And, you know, the whole movie is about this family and his cousin, his brother-in-law come along and, you know, everything comes harder. And it's just really funny. But there is this really big bear that chases them, and it's just great. And so the Bass Lake is where I've always wanted to go since I watched that movie. And when I married David, he was like, you know, we started talking about that, and he was like, oh, my gosh, I've never seen that movie. So it's kind of like our little dream together. Like, we've always wanted to go to the Bass Lake. So that's what we're hoping to do on spring break, to go to the Bass Lake in California and check out all the little places that they use for the movie. So, yeah, that's what we're thinking.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
What a neat baby moon. So,
I'm sorry.
Well, that's neat. What a neat thing.
I'm
mean,
excited.
Back when I was having babies, we didn't have baby moons.
I
but
know.
That
I
makes sense. You want to go before the baby gets there and wakes up in the middle of the night.
I know. I think it's just an excuse. We've been wanting to go there for a while. And we really can't stay much too long because I'm hoping to save some of his days for when the baby actually comes so he can take more time, you know, then. So it's probably going to be like a quick 5-day vacation, but it's a little time away and we get to focus on us before the baby comes and we don't get to focus on that anymore, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
After that, it's 18 years of children.
I know.
So, but that's exciting. And babies are worth it. They're blessings.
Yeah.
So it's exciting, though. But it's also a great reason to take a trip together.
What's going on with you?
Okay. So this wasn't even what I was going to discuss tonight. But I've been dying for over a month to spill it. But I've had to wait and be a good mom/mother-in-law, but I can finally tell everyone that my daughter Savannah is almost 10 weeks pregnant, and she's finally made it Facebook official, so I am going to be a grandma again.
Yay! So congratulations! That's so exciting.
I've been baby shopping for a month now.
Oh,
my baby's going to be so spoiled.
It's
like, oh, my goodness. That has been a long month to hold that secret. I even went up for over Christmas because she told me on Christmas Day. And It was cool. She Skyped me on Christmas Day because we weren't able to be together, and gave me the news, and it was a little unexpected because they hadn't quite been, I mean, it's not, well, it was unexpected on my end, but so that was my awesome Christmas Day surprise. And so then over Christmas, the Christmas holidays, I drove from Texas to Kansas, and I do some amateur photography, and so I shot some baby announcement pictures for them.
And
so, but she wanted to wait
great.
Until...
As always, you do a great job, pictures.
Oh,
yes,
thank
they're
you.
Great.
It was so fun coming up with that. So
yes.
We included her dog for anyone that kind of... I think it's public on my Facebook, and we included her dogs, and the little sign says, Mom and Dad are getting me a human.
Those dogs are so photogenic. They're so great. It looks like you're smiling at the picture, Crystal. They're great.
It's treats. It was also cold.
Didn't you do some Christmas cards with them, too? Because I remember seeing them sometime before.
Yep.
They're great. They're so sweet.
Christmas cards. That was shot in, the Christmas cards were shot in my studio. I have a little home studio that I haven't set back up since we moved, but they're beautiful dogs, and so it's fun taking pictures of them. And I think I just like taking pictures of pets, so that's kind of my thing. But I'm so excited to finally be able to announce that she got that she posted the pictures on Facebook along with the sonogram picture, so that's cool. So I have my first picture of my grandbaby.
I know, that's so exciting. And you know, from now on, time is going to fly. I feel like I waited and waited and waited and waited until I got to 12 weeks, and now I'm like, how am I 21 already? What happened? Time will fly now. It's crazy. You just get so excited to get those news out, and once they are out, it's just crazy how fast they go. So,
yeah,
it's exciting. Congratulations!
Yeah.
I'm happy for you.
So it is. It's exciting. So that kind of takes the edge off of trying to lose my PCS weight gain. I don't know if you do that, but it seems like every time I PCS, I gain weight, and so I have to then work it back off.
Or you feel like every time I go to Dallas, I gain weight. What are you talking about?
I know, my husband's talking about taking a cruise maybe next year. I'm like, I've heard about the cruise weight gains, 20, 30 pounds. I don't know. At my age, it's getting hard to get it off. Huh?
No. Because that's all you do at that place is just eat and drink and lounge around. I love it. But it's great. You should. Cruises are definitely very relaxing.
Yeah, it looks, we're probably going to look into that. So, well, it's time for us to take a quick break, and we will be right back. Stay tuned.
Army Wives, it's not your grandma's army anymore.
The military, in this day and age, plays a whole different tune. Army Wife Network is listening. We are interactive empowerment for Army Wives, a network of Army Wives band together by the power of social media. Army Wives supporting each other by utilizing the array of resources available from military and civilian-led support systems. Here's what's going on at Army Wife Network this week.
At ease and check it out.
Well, hot in military news tonight, and I have to say extraordinarily touching, dying World War II vet may get to be with his wife in the nursing home. An anonymous donor wants to help a World War II paratrooper who is dying of cancer to spend his last days with his wife in a Colorado nursing home that was not approved by the Veterans Administration. Elmer Melchi, age 92, who jumped into Normandy on D-Day, and later was captured by the Germans in the Netherlands, is in hospice care, while his wife, June Melchi, who has had dementia for several years, is at a nursing home in the city of Pueblo that is not sanctioned by the VA. Someone offered to pay for 10 days of care for Elmer Melchi at the nursing home after the Pueblo Chieftain newspaper reported their story on Sunday. This story can be found at militarytimes.com, and we're posting a link on our Twitter page so you can read more, and it's such a touching story.
That does sound like it. So let's see what's hot on our AWN this week. Our very own Sharita Nablock shares with us her latest blog, 11 ways being an Army wife is like running a marathon. She says, taking it from me, gals, Army wife, life, and running a marathon are two of the hardest things I've ever done, but both have been so worth it 1,000 times over. Are you a runner? She's so funny. How do you think Army, wife, life, and running are connected? Jump in and leave a comment at armywifenetwork.com/11 ways being an Army wife is like running a marathon.
Oh, fun. That's a good article. So go on over there and read that. It's a good article. And it's social media roundup time. We recently asked on our Facebook page the question, what is the last thing you do before you finally go to sleep? I noticed that we do a lot of the same things. Did you add yours? Join us for the conversation. We're posting a link to that right now on Twitter. We would love for you to just give us your input, and I don't know, it's just kind of fun to read everybody's comments. And
I know.
I'm always over there like reading everybody's comments. So, Joanna, what do you do before bed?
So, I text the door like 10 times, especially when David is gone. Like, I feel like I'm sitting in bed and I'm like, haven't I checked that door? I even locked the bathroom door, so I don't know why. But I check every single door in the house to make sure that it's locked. And then I have to have water, so I usually take a sip of water and I pray and I'm out. That's it. What do you do?
I'm a nighttime exerciser, so it seems to work better for me. So I usually exercise about an hour before bed, and then we have family devotions and pray together as a family. And then my husband gets, while I'm lazy and reading in bed, my husband is the safety conscious one, and he goes around and checks all the doors and turns on a bunch of lights. And then when he comes back to bed, I get up to go to the bathroom, turn a few of the lights off to save energy. I said, he'll never know until he listens to this anyway, right? So, and then he and I pray together before we finally go to bed. And then I usually check my phone. And
checking phone is usually part of it, which is too bad. You know, I wish we weren't so connected to those phones. But that's usually, I check my phone and then I plug into the charger so it's charging all night. But yeah, I'm always checking my doors. I'm freaked out about it. And you know, because where I come from in Brazil, we don't have heaters, so I'm still getting used to it, even though I've been here for 4 years. But every time the heater goes off in the house, oh my god, that thing freaks me out. And it feels like I have to get up and check every single door again. And Jay was like, why are you doing this? This is crazy. Nothing got open. And I'm like, I know, but I need to go check one more time. It freaked me out.
Wow. Yep. So tonight, what's our public service announcement? What's going on?
Last but not least is public service announcement time. Do you or your business have a military-related PSA? We limit one per show. We ask for them 10 days in advance to email us at info@armywifenetwork.com. Scholarships for Military Children Program. Commissaries are an integral part of the quality of life offered to service members and their families.
The scholarships for military children program was created in recognition of the contributions of military families to the readiness of the fighting force and to celebrate the role of the commissary in the military life community. It is the intent of the program that a scholarship funded through contributions be awarded annually for each commissary operated by the Defense Commissary Agents worldwide. The scholarship for military children program is primarily funded through the generosity of manufacturers and suppliers whose products are sold at military commissaries worldwide. We encourage military families to take advantage of the commissary benefits that not only provide a savings of more than 30% on the product purchase, but also support the military community through programs such as this scholarship. The purchase of products from this company's funds, programs like the Scholarship for Military Children program. The Fisher House Foundation is honored to be involved with the Scholarships for Military Children program. Fisher House Foundation provides a home away from home near military medical centers for families experience a personal medical crisis and is one of the primary quality of life organizations supporting military families. The foundation volunteered to underwrite the administration of this program. A total of 700 scholarship grants, each for $2,000, will be awarded for school year 2016-17. There will be at least one recipient selected at every commissary location where qualified applications are received. An additional recipient will be selected based on a prorate basis, so more applicants will be selected from those commissaries with larger numbers of applicants. For more information, you're welcome to visit militaryscholar.org/FFF/index.html. And that's it for our PSA. Coming up next after this quick commercial break is AWN's News 6 Gen bringing you the Need to Know stories. We'll be right back.
While defending our nation, your active duty service member can protect their family's smiles with the TRICARE Dental Program, TDP. It's dental protection that's deserved. This dedicated military service entitles spouses and or children and members of the National Guard or Reserve to receive comprehensive dental coverage. But don't forget, TRICARE Dental Coverage requires enrollment. TRICARE Medical Program options do not include TRICARE Dental Coverage. Call 1-855-MET-TDP-1 or visit us online at tricare.mil/TDP.
Hi, this is Nicholas Cage. When you're a teenager, there are a lot of things going on that can produce stress and anxiety. The pressures of school, dating, and the future in general can seem overwhelming sometimes. But there are healthy ways to deal with stress, ways to reduce it and channel your energy in positive directions. And you don't have to do it alone. The Will Rogers Institute has a free booklet with some really helpful information.
For your free copy, visit WRinstitute.org and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Are you looking to reach military families worldwide? Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Advertise with the Army Wife Network. AWN has many advertising options specifically designed to reach our military families. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details. It's time for the AWTR Live News 6 Report.
Our life, our family, our soldier, news you can use.
Now, with our headlines, it's our own AWN News 6.
Good evening, Army family. This is your News 6 Gen, bringing you all your need-to-know news. The Pentagon will take over background checks from the Office of Personnel Management. The responsibility for storing sensitive information on millions of federal employees will shift from the Office of Personnel Management to the Defense Department. a new entity will be created to oversee background investigations, Obama administration officials announced on Friday. Those changes and others are the result of an internal review of how the government conducts background investigations and how it stores and uses the information gathered following the disclosure last summer that OPM's computer system had been breached in 2014. A new entity, to be called the National Background Investigations Bureau, will take over responsibility for conducting background investigations government-wide. The new bureau, to be headed by a presidential appointee, will take over OPM's Federal Investigative Services branch, while the Pentagon will take over the information technology aspects. For federal employees and others who hold government-issued security clearances, changes will include a reinvestigation every 5 years, regardless of the level of access, and continuous investigations to determine whether they continue to meet requirements for eligibility. No timeline has been set for the changes, which will be carried out in stages, but certainly some of them will occur over 2016, said Michael Daniel, cybersecurity coordinator of the National Security Council. Officials noted that some changes regarding background investigations already have been made following a separate review in September 2013, including a 17% cut in the number of clearance holders. Also being developed is better information sharing among state, local, and federal law enforcement entities during background investigations. Eric Fanning, the nominee for the position of Army Secretary, says he will look to reverse combat unit cuts. The nominee to be the next Army Secretary wants to revisit and possibly reverse some of the deep cuts the Army has been forced to make in recent years. If confirmed, I would look for ways to reverse as many of the combat cuts that the Army made last year as possible, Eric Fanning said Thursday during his confirmation hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. Since 2012, the Army has cut 80,000 soldiers and shut down 13 brigade combat teams to reach an active duty end strength of 490,000. The service will cut an additional 40,000 soldiers by the end of fiscal year 2018. Senior Army leaders, including Fanning, have expressed concern about cutting too deeply into the Army, even as the demand for troops around the world continues to rise. If confirmed by the Senate, Fanning will replace John McHugh, who retired November 1st. Fanning is viewed as one of the most capable leaders in the Pentagon. He has served as the Undersecretary and later the Acting Secretary of the Air Force. Before that, he was Deputy Undersecretary of the Navy and its Deputy Chief Management Officer. If confirmed, Fanning will lead the Army during a critical transition period that includes key leadership changes at the top, continuing budget constraints, and growing demands for troops around the world. TRICARE has announced that it will maintain its over-the-counter drug program. Starting February 1st, TRICARE's over-the-counter drug coverage will become permanent, allowing beneficiaries to receive some medications at pharmacies or by mail for the same price they pay for generic medication. Under the program, patients must have a doctor's prescription for the over-the-counter drug and will pay $10 for a 30-day prescription at a retail store or nothing for a 90-day prescription through the home delivery program. The medications also are available at no cost to patients at military pharmacies. That's all the news for this week. Stay tuned to Army Wife Network's Twitter feed and Facebook page for updates throughout the week. This is your News 6 Gen signing off.
Welcome back to the Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship.
And what breed would you say Satchmo is?
I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix.
Tremendous dog.
I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous.
You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this.
Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group.
And finally, the loving face lick.
It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks.
Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio live here on the Army Wife Network. Our live show is broadcast every Monday night. Join us in our live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/AWTR. Missed a live show or just can't make it? Don't worry. AWTR is available in archived format 24/7 via our website, www.armywifenetwork.com, or on iTunes. It's interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. Now, back to the show.
Well, welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Joanna Boyd. Tonight, we have with us Barrington Thunder of Success Vets, and you can find it at www.successvets.com. A resource website for veterans and service members. He also hosts a podcast interviewing amazing veterans who have successfully made a transition, including authors, self-employed businessmen and women, and CEOs. He's also the author of Barracks to Boardrooms, Negotiating Your Salary After Serving the Military, which came out this January.
Byron was a captain in the United States Marine Corps and a graduate of the United States Naval Academy. His 6 years of active duty as a military police officer included one deployment to Iraq and two company commands, one as a commander of a recruit training company at the prestigious Marine Corps Recruiting Depot in San Diego. We're pleased to have and welcome Byron to the show. Welcome.
Joanna and Crystal, so excited to be joining you today.
Well, glad to have you. So please take a moment to tell us a bit about yourself and where you're calling from tonight.
Well, tonight I am calling from sunny San Diego, so I'm missing out on the snowstorm out here. And like you mentioned in the introduction, I founded Success Vets a few years ago right after I got out of the military. And really I did that because I wanted to help veterans when they left the military. I found that the transition was very difficult, and we didn't have all the tools necessary when we first left. And since then, I've built resources with podcasts and videos and little training articles, and most recently wrote Barracks to Boardrooms to teach veterans and military families how to negotiate their salaries after they leave the military.
Wow, Byron, great. I'm so glad you're here with us. Now, your new book that just came out in January, why did you cover salary negotiation in this book? Tell us a little bit about it.
So when I first started the website, I was getting a lot of questions from veterans asking about what should I do after I leave the military, asking about jobs. And then when they did well at interviews and got those jobs, they started asking me about salary negotiation. And I realized, you know, that's something that they don't cover at all in transition classes. That's something that society in general doesn't talk a lot about. And I realized, you know, I really should provide a guide or something like that that would help veterans, because the way I learned was learning from mentors and other veterans. Why don't I pass along that information in a book?
Right.
Right. And why do you think this is a topic that's not covered when you transition out of the service?
So good question. That's for a few reasons. One, that when you transition, at best, most services provide a week of classes. So that's a lot to cover in those classes. And the important things like applying for your veterans benefits and the basic things like interviewing for a job and preparing your resume are the main things that they focus on. So they never get to the point where they go into more advanced subjects like salary negotiation. And that's unfortunate, because salary negotiation can really make the biggest difference for what you make in your lifetime.
Byron, why do you think that this skill important for veterans to learn? I mean, it's important for all of us to learn, but, you know, especially for veterans.
Well, one thing I've found when veterans leave the military is that, one, it's difficult to get a job because they're translating a lot of their military skills for the private sector. So that takes a little bit of a time to learn. And so sometimes they'll get these jobs and then they'll just accept the first offer that's given to them. And the problem with that is, from my research, most companies actually add flexibility into the contract that they offer somebody. So they're expecting somebody to negotiate. And this doesn't just hurt veterans, but for most people out there, they're not taught to negotiate. So sometimes they could be taking on these jobs at a discount. And what I want veterans to realize is that even though that transition might be difficult, once you get that job, you're bringing a lot of great skills, great leadership, and a lot of talent to that position, and you deserve to be paid well for that. And that is one of the reasons that if veterans learn this skill, they can find that they can get paid a lot more than what they expected when they first leave the military.
Now, do you think that this is a skill that is difficult for people to learn? You know, we feel that, you know, maybe have some difficulty going in and negotiating a salary. It's just difficult, kind of a difficult
subject. You know, the way I like to frame it is it's difficult for most people because most people don't practice it. And so in my research, the top reason that people don't negotiate, and this is everybody, not just veterans, is that they said they were never taught. The people that do negotiate, they fortunately had a member or a family member or a friend who practiced and gave them those skills. So it's definitely something that veterans can learn. And my book, it's not a huge book. I break it down into pretty simple steps. And really, you know, when people think about negotiation, I think they think about it in the movies where there's like this standoff at a conference table. And it's not like that. It's really about preparing, understanding what the job market is like, you know, understanding what everybody else in the region or the industry or the position gets paid, and then communicating that to your employer that, hey, I've done my research. I understand what the value I bring is. You know, are you flexible on the contract or the salary so that, you know, to make sure that I'm fairly paid for if I work for your company?
No, I appreciate that because I hadn't heard very often that we really need to research the market and the company that we're going into before we go in. You know, I think sometimes we go in and we have the set expectations and we just kind of stay within that box. But I think that's an important point that you brought out, to research
right
and be prepared before you go in.
Now, and it's funny that you mentioned that. The other crazy thing that I learned when I was researching the book is that the other reason many people don't negotiate is because they don't know what the value is for what they're bringing to their company. A lot of them haven't done that research. So when they get an offer, they just assume that that's a fair one and they take it.
Right.
Now, Lauren, could I lose a job offer or my job if I try to negotiate my salary? Because, you know, I've never done that before.
Well, one, I'd like to say it's okay. A lot of people have never negotiated before. And this is a question I get asked quite a bit, and it's a myth that I want to dispel. So,
right.
One, for most companies, they expect a salary negotiation. That's why they provide a first offer that's slightly discounted. And then, secondly, even if the company says no in a negotiation, you haven't done anything wrong. If you're communicating very professionally, very courteously, and asking and framing the question in a way where you're just saying, hey, I've done my research, this is what I'm seeing, what can you guys do? Notice the way I present it. You're not being pushy, you're not being demanding, you're just asking, hey, can we make sure that this is fair for both of us? So honestly, when you present it that way, there's no guarantee that your negotiation is going to be successful, but what I definitely want people to understand that it's important to ask, because even if they say no, bad things don't happen. You know, you're not going to lose the job offer. You're not going to, you know, lose your job or get demoted. These are things that people just have, you know, self-doubts about. You know, some companies, somebody, whoever you're talking to might respond in a very off-the-wall way, and that's always possible, but that's a pretty rare scenario. And honestly, if that's the way somebody reacts in a business or a professional setting, you know, that might not be the best company to work for later, because if you think about it later on, you're going to want to be promoted. You're going to want to get raises. And if you're having trouble with the initial offer, then you might have trouble down the line. So those are things I would say it's more important to consider than, you know, whether or not you'll lose your job.
Right.
I think you brought out a good point. It's all in how you phrase it. And so do you find that there's some, that it would be a good idea for someone to even rehearse that before they go in to negotiate?
Definitely. That's a great point that you bring up because, like I said before, a lot of people don't negotiate because they don't have any experience. Well, it doesn't take much experience to practice going through some scenarios and the other thing that you said about, you know, the way you phrase it is very important. You know, it's not necessarily about what you want. What I try to teach people in the book is that it's thinking about what the company needs and coming to a fair offer. So looking at the job position and the requirements, you know, explaining to them, hey, I fit all these very well, and on top of that, I'm bringing extra experience that could be very helpful to this company. I have some concerns, and I'd like to make sure that this offer is fair for both of us. It doesn't have to be contentious. You don't have to be, you know, get in your face about it. It's really just having a conversation about, you know, these are some things that I think would attract me more to work for this company because everything else makes me very excited.
Right. And I think that shows your potential employer that you're prepared, that you're a self-starter. You take initiative. But why do you think that most people tell others not to negotiate their salary?
So there are a few reasons for this. When you look at the research, like I said, most people have not negotiated their salary before, so it's hard for them to recommend somebody else do it. And we're in a new generation where it's not like we're people back in the day where they work at the same company for 20 or 30 years. So, you know, employers nowadays are expecting people to move around a lot, are expecting to be ambitious and look to get the highest salary possible. So for a couple of reasons, people not having done it before and people not understanding the new economy now, that it's important to negotiate your salary because there was a study that was done that showed that if somebody who just left a school negotiated their salary, even just a $5,000 difference on a $50,000 salary, if you take the rest of their career over 20 years and they didn't negotiate any more, they just got regular salary raises, whatever the average is, they would earn more than $500,000 more than somebody who didn't negotiate. So you can see how important it is to negotiate. Most people just don't look at it that way. So they don't realize how important it is. And they tell you, hey, just go to work and hopefully you'll get paid.
Wow, that is remarkable. So it is.
It is. It was shocking to me.
You start off on the right foot, right? I mean.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is for people that negotiate well, when you present yourself in this way, you show that you've done the research. And you were saying before that, you know, it shows the employer that you're going to be a good employee. You do the homework. You know how to communicate. And your employer actually sees you in a higher light. So they expect this person to be ambitious, driven. That's the person that they want to retain. So not only does negotiation benefit you at the moment, it also over the long term makes you look like you're going to be an employee who's going to continue to do as the best that you can because you want to earn the most that you can.
Wow. Well, kind of deviating from the script a little bit, that brought up another question I wanted to ask then. So for someone that goes in initially to negotiate their salary, then do you find that when they're successful doing that, that later on they tend to get higher raises or, later on down the line?
Yeah, there are a few ways that they can leverage this. And one, the important thing to realize is your future bonuses at the company and your future raises are based on that initial salary. So if you have a higher initial salary, then your bonuses and raises will be, you know, overall greater. And I just helped a friend recently negotiate, and he added $5,000 to the salary and another $5,000 in bonus. But the nice thing was that in a month and a half, the company gave out their annual bonuses. And that bonus was based on that person's current salary. So immediately over, you know, just for the year, he was making more than if he didn't negotiate. The other thing is, as you go to other companies or you change careers or change positions, that question gets brought up. Hey, how much did you make at your last company? And they the reason they ask that is they want to understand, you know, what is it that we have to do to bring in this person into our company? So if your previous salary is higher, that's a benefit to you because they know that they have to give you a more competitive offer to attract you to their company. And finally, you know, in the book, I mostly talk about negotiating your initial salary, but the even if the company, let's say, doesn't, you know, give you a great offer, because you established that you are willing to negotiate, the next time you negotiate, they're going to expect it. They're going to realize, hey, this person is somebody who's very ambitious, and they negotiated once. If they negotiate again, it's not a surprise. You know, contrast that to another friend of mine who worked at his company for 20 years, and he got some raises. They were just automatic raises, but he never negotiated. And come time when he wanted to finally negotiate, they were all surprised, and they were kind of taken aback that for the first time in his career, he's looking to negotiate. So it kind of surprised them. So if you kind of train your employer early, they come to expect that, hey, you know, we have to make sure that we're providing the right level of compensation to keep, you know, this talented employee.
Myron, I have to say something. I absolutely love the name of your book. And the reason why is because I always tell my husband, you know, someday we're going to have to get ready to get out of the barracks. And he's always like, you're so silly. You don't have to say that. I'm like, it is true. Like, you go from the barracks to the boardroom. And I just, when I saw that, I was like, that's hilarious. That's great because it really is what happened.
I can't take credit, though, for that. That actually came from the audience of my show.
I thought that was great.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, it was really cool.
That's neat. Well, Byron, we have to take a quick break. Don't forget the AWN core team has some fun discussion taking place in our Twitter chat over at twitter.com/Army Wife Network using hashtag Army Wife to participate. And we're having fun over there, guys. When we come back in just a few minutes, or actually not even that long, in just a few, we will continue our discussion about negotiating from barracks to boardroom. We'll be right back.
You're hired. Those words are music to any recent graduate's ears, and they're familiar words for CareerStep alumni. 84% of CareerStep graduates land jobs right out of school. Start working in an in-demand field like pharmacy technician or medical coding and billing in as little as 3 months, taking online classes whenever and wherever is best for you. CareerStep nurtures relationships with its network of more than 900 employers, and many of them prefer CareerStep alumni. Let CareerStep help you take the next step toward a rewarding new career. Visit careerstep.com/military to learn more today.
Valentine's Day is right around the corner. What are your plans? Ours include Fight Night. Yes, Fight Night. Let's get ready to rumble! No, not that kind of Fight Night. The Fight Night that we're going to is a marriage program by Less and Less Parrot. We recommend that you regularly do marriage programs, and this is just one of many programs that are available to you. This one is about why and how we fight, fight types, red flags when you fight, and then other resources to help you deal with conflict in your marriage. For other opportunities to take programs, go to NationalMarriageWeekUSA.com. There you'll find a list of marriage programs that are being taught all around the country. Take a program. It'll help your relationship, and it'll help your marriage. This is Kevin Decker, Certified Relationship Coach, and you're listening to the Relationship Men on the Army Wife Network. For more information, go to GetROR.com. That's GetROR.com.
Want more? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers discussion boards, military family resources, Loving a Soldier blog, and much, much more. Tell your friends about AWN with our interactive tools. Visit us online at ArmyWifeNetwork.com. ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Interactive empowerment for Army wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Byron Chin, founder of Success Vet, which is a resource site for veterans and service members. He's also the author of the recently released book, Barracks to Boardrooms, Negotiating Your Salary After Serving in the Military. Now, before we went to break, we were discussing how and why we should negotiate our salaries and benefits. And I couldn't help but think that this book would be a fantastic resource, not just for veterans or for service members leaving the military, but for anyone that wants to learn how to better negotiate their salary. And so what is one thing, Byron, that people can do to better prepare themselves for a salary negotiation?
Well, Crystal, thank you so much for mentioning that this would be good for anybody looking to, you know, improve their career opportunities. I wrote the book for veterans because that's my audience, but honestly, 90% of the information in the book applies to anyone. And the number one thing I would tell people is to do your homework. Do your homework before you accept a job. Do your homework before you go interview for a position. And the homework that you should be doing is researching the salary, on top of all the other things that you're doing to prepare yourself. Researching what the salary is for that industry, for that company, for that region, that for the position where you'll be hired. Because, like I said before, one of the top reasons that people don't negotiate is because they don't know what their value is to their company. And I want to say, you know, a lot of companies can be very fair and make a very fair offer when they offer you a job. So if you understand that, then there's not even a need to negotiate. You can just say, well, this is a great offer, I'll accept it. The times when it hurts people is when they haven't done their homework. They get an offer because that's low because the company is, one, you know, doing something in their best interest. Two, the company is expecting a negotiation. And if you haven't done your homework and you don't know what the market range is for that position, then you might end up accepting it when you really could ask for more.
Good point.
Most people, as you know, are uncomfortable negotiating their salary. What advice would you give them?
So I would say, and I actually dedicate a whole chapter to this on my book, is take a look at the reasons that you're uncomfortable and see if those reasons are valid. So what I mean by that is if you have a self-doubt about, let's say, annoying somebody because you're going to negotiate, take a look at that and say, well, what are you doing that might annoy them? You know, if you're going to present a very professional counteroffer, if you're going to be very courteous and you're going to be very reasonable, then why would you annoy somebody? If you were on the other side of the table, would you be annoyed? Of course not. So a lot of people have self-doubts, and that's okay. It's just making sure that you evaluate them and see, hey, is this self-doubt true? Or is it something that, you know, I've just created in my mind because, you know, not everybody's uncomfortable doing things that they haven't done before. So making sure that those aren't the reasons that you're being held back, and that if you are being held back, it's something that makes sense. That would be my main thing. You know, take a look at what you're uncomfortable with and seeing, hey, is it reasonable for you to be uncomfortable with? And I think a lot of people will find that, hey, there's actually no reason that they shouldn't try to negotiate.
All right. Well, how can someone tell if they're in a good position to negotiate? Should they always go in ready to negotiate? Is there some sort of a sign that, you know, something that will tell them that they're in a good position to negotiate?
Right. So in addition of doing homework and understanding, you know, what is it that the market value is, what does somebody in the position that you're interviewing for get paid, you know, that'll give you a good indication of what sort of salary to expect. But I write about a lot of other different indicators. So, for example, if you've been interviewed three or four or five times in the process by the same company, meaning they're flying you out to their company headquarters and they're having you meet a bunch of teams, think about how much that costs the company. One of the things that I found out during my research was that companies spend on average about $3,000 to $5,000 to recruit somebody. So if you think about it that way, if a company at the end is making you an offer, a company that has done all that legwork, they don't want to lose you over a few thousand dollars in salary because now they have to start over. And if they kept doing this, they're going to lose money. So if you have like a very long and involved interview process, that helps. If you have special skills that set you apart from, let's say, your peers, let's say you have certain degrees or certifications that you know you have and other people don't, you know, that's something that you can say, hey, that adds value to the work that I bring. Is there a way that I can be recognized for that? And finally, another indication of like being in a good position to negotiate is if the place that you're going to work has special risks involved. And risks can be anything. It doesn't just have to be a dangerous place of work. It could be even be a place to wherever you move. If a place is kind of in a very isolated region or it's rural and they're looking for very talented folks, they might have to pay a little bit more to attract the people to get them to move away from, let's say, a big city where, you know, the expectations are going to be paid a lot more. So little things like that are things that I suggest people watch out for. And if you're not sure, you know, definitely ask people that are in that area or worked for similar companies to see, hey, what is it that sets apart somebody when they, you know, want to take a job in this industry? Because then you could see whether or not you have, you know, special skills or special traits that set you apart from everybody else.
What if I take a job where salary negotiation isn't a common practice?
You know what? That's totally okay. I mean, there are people that if you go into a government or a federal job, for example, those salaries can be pretty much set. So there are a few things that I suggest. You can still look at negotiating, but you're not necessarily negotiating money. At that point, perhaps you could look at your skills and what the job requires and say, hey, you know, I've got these additional this additional work experience, would I be able to come on at a higher position instead of, let's say, the entry-level position that the company is trying to hire you for? Another thing that you could look at is saying, you know what, I'm going to be performing well. You've seen it throughout the interview that I think you understand that I'll be a top performer, and I want to prove myself. Is there any way that we can accelerate the review process? Can we look at, instead of 1 year, perhaps in 6 months, and see what I've done for the company? And if you do something like that, you know, the company's not increasing their salary to bring you on, but they're incentivizing you to, you know, be a great employee and also, you know, proving to the company that, hey, I want to move quickly, you know, up in the organization, and I'm looking for different ways to do it. So you're negotiating things other than salary. And finally, another thing that companies might look at is benefits and expenses that don't include your pay, because some of these things could be worth a lot to you, but, you know, don't require a lot from the company. So one example is telecommuting. Some people love to work from home. It gives them the opportunity to have a flexible schedule, you know, pick up their kids, drop them off from school, things like that. For the company, they're still getting the same amount of work from you. So for companies that have that option, that's something you definitely, you know, can ask about, and it doesn't cost them anything, and but it's a great benefit for you. So, you know, you can get creative with it. It's just doing the research and saying, hey, what has this company been flexible with before?
Wow. So now if I take a government job or a federal job where the pay scale is set, am I locked into that, or is there some way that I can negotiate that?
It is more difficult, and like I mentioned before, one of the things you could do is seeing if you can come in at a different position, you know, a higher position. But you might even be able to negotiate, let's say, a different job title. Now, job title might not mean any difference in your compensation. But let's say later on in your career, you can now say, hey, I was a senior level director or senior level administrator instead of a junior one, right? And when you're looking at your career long term, these are things that can benefit you, but it doesn't cost, you know, the company anything. And the other thing I would say is, you know, look at your salary in total. You know, government and federal jobs, maybe their salaries aren't as high compared to the private sector, but they have a lot of benefits, and the benefits can be excellent. So one of the things I talk about in the book is it's not always about making the most money. It's about what's most important to you and making sure that you get those things. So if like those benefits and things are important, make sure you do that research and compare it to the private sector. And you might find that a government and federal job is great. So salary negotiation as a skill includes all that. It includes evaluating the offer that's giving you. And sometimes what you'll find is, hey, this is a good offer. And even if the salary isn't as high, I should still take it. So I think that's another thing I want people to understand is that, doing your homework, and even if you learn the skill of salary negotiation, even if you don't end up practicing it, it can benefit you just for better satisfaction with, you know, the job that you take and feeling good that you're taking care of your family and that you're being taken care of.
Maren, thank you so much for taking the time and answering us all of those questions. You have given us some great advices and what great resources tonight. Now, could you tell our listeners where they can go to find out a little bit more about it in case they have more questions?
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I love this show, and I love the service that you're providing. To find out more, listeners can check out successvets.com. That's my website where I have articles and podcast interviews where I talk more about these things and all sorts of things related to transitioning from the military. And then if you search for Barracks to Boardrooms on Amazon, they'll be able to find it. It's number one in a couple of categories related to job hunting. So it should pop right up. And if readers are interested or listeners are interested, that's where they can pick it up.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And you've just been a wealth of information, and I know that I'm going to be getting the book. I didn't realize there was so much in it, and it's a valuable resource. I can already think of two people that I need to pass that on to. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. And they can always reach out to me at SuccessVets on Twitter or through my email, Byron@SuccessVets.com. I'm always willing to answer questions.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You too.
And a special thanks to each of our listeners for being with us tonight. We hope you had fun over in our Twitter chat. I know we did. Be sure to join us next week, February 1st, 2016. On the show, we're featuring Patty Gatter of the Breastfeeding Shop, so you don't want to miss this.
No, I wish I was in that show. I have so many questions for her. In the meantime,
you can always download it on the podcast.
No. In the meantime,
ask questions on Twitter. Sorry, I did not mean to interrupt again, but anytime that our guests want to, or you're in the Twitter chat, that's what it's there for. Feel free to ask questions. So that would be awesome. So I will let you talk. I'm sorry.
Join us on Army Wife Network to stay connected to resources, information, expert colonists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, and also follow along in any of our social media outlets. We got some great stuff going on there, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Yes, we do. We are Interactive Empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out. Have a great week, everyone.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services, and inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for another informative edition of Army Wife Talk Radio.